of this song, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you, and it's entitled God of Heaven. Okay. I'm going to come back tomorrow afternoon, and we'll make sure this is taken care of for the concert tomorrow, because that's going to be a pain. We'll have it changed around for tomorrow. All right? Here we go. God of Heaven. thinking maybe I should have sung that last night when we had the storm here, right? Wouldn't that have added to it? Oh, I love the sound of thunder now. When I was a little kid, not so much, but now it reminds me of the greatness and power of who our God is. Brandon and my wife Amanda are going to come up here. They're going to join me. We're going to sing a family song for you. We've got a lot lined up for tomorrow. And so if you can come tomorrow night, we'd love to have you. And we'll be singing a lot for you tomorrow night. And we've saved some of our favorite ones for tomorrow. And so we're looking forward to that. This one is a song that harkens back to the story of the prodigal. How many of you remember the story of the prodigal son? All right, most of you do. Of course, it seems like it's a story all about the prodigal as he takes what is coming to him and goes and wastes it and loses all his so-called friends. But then when he comes to the end of himself, the Bible says, we start realizing something, that the story actually rotates around a different person, and that's the person of the father. The prodigal son is really a story about who the father is and who's the father. Well, he thinks he'll accept him back as a servant, but that's not what the father does. The father, who's been obviously waiting for him to return every day, looks down that dusty road to see if his son would return. And that father, who obviously was well off to have given so much, that wasn't even the firstborn portion, right? But he in his robes and risking seeming to look undignified ran down that road to welcome his son home. This song, I don't know where it finds you tonight. Maybe you have a prodigal in your life. Maybe you've been the prodigal. No matter where it finds you, know that our God is a God of love, and he holds his arms open wide for the sinner to return. When God ran. Almighty God, the great I am, immovable rock, omnipotent, powerful, awesome Lord, victorious warrior, commanding King of kings, mighty conqueror, and the only time, I ever saw him run was when he ran to me, took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again," lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise when God ran. After I'd left home, I knew I'd broken his heart. I wondered then if things would ever be the same, but one night I remembered his love for me, and down that dusty road ahead I could see it's the only time, I ever saw him chest, said, "My son's come home again," lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise, and he brought me to my knees when God ran. I saw him run to me. God we serve, amen, that would seek out the sinner, the unlovely. Oh, if you're here tonight and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, oh, make tonight that night, my friend. Make tonight that night. Don't leave from here tonight without trusting Christ. Talk to one of us. We'd love to talk with you. I can, Pastor Ken. We've got ladies here as well that can talk with any lady or girl who might be here and needs to talk with somebody. We just want to show you how you can know Jesus. All right, are we dismissing kids tonight? All right, same deal. Sixth grade down to 5 years old, you can be dismissed at this time. Thanks so much. Those who are working with the young people this week. All right. We'll be back at the back at the close of the service this evening. We're looking forward to the concert tomorrow night. I will probably come in. I'll work it out with Pastor when it's appropriate. I can come in, and we'll make sure that everything's working well. I didn't mean to insinuate that your sound people were doing anything incorrect, by the way, earlier. I have spent my time as a church sound engineer. In fact, I was trained to do that. And no one notices sound people or video crew unless something goes wrong. That's the way it goes. For some reason, my iPads were still doing funny things, and it hasn't done it at all before. So we'll get that ironed out for tomorrow, and looking forward to it. We will be back at our back table afterward tonight. We won't be staying there quite as long this evening. We have the opportunity to go spend some time with your assistant pastor. And is it just you, brother, or are we going to be with family too, or some assorted number of folks? That I didn't hear what you said. We'll allow her to. Okay, all right, good. That was the slug. I got you. I got the slug in the arm. And we're going to hit a local restaurant here tonight, and I think they close at 9, so we're going to kind of like jet out a little bit quicker this evening. But we have enjoyed your town. We really have. And I've been really good on my diet this week. I only cheated once today. I had some onion rings. I wasn't supposed to. They were so good, though. But I've lost 4 pounds since being here. So I'm really excited, actually, because I got to enjoy some good food and actually keep on my diet. So that's always a good thing as we travel. We'll miss you. It's amazing how fast this week has gone. I'm glad we've got an extra day. Normally speaking, we're done after Wednesday. And so we get that bonus day with you. Matthew chapter 20, if you turn there with me tonight. Matthew chapter number 20 this evening. If you're physically able to stand, I'd like to ask you to do so this evening. If you're not able to, we certainly understand that. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse number 1.
For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. He answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. Dear Lord, I pray you'd help me tonight. Fill me with your Spirit. We've got another service tomorrow, but of course tonight is the last preaching service. So Lord, I pray you'd send us from here with a new challenge and a new focus if need be. Lord, I pray you'd guide my thoughts and my words tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Matthew chapter 20 here, we have really a fascinating account. And the parables of Jesus are fascinating for a number of different reasons. Some of them are pretty straightforward. Some of them confuse a lot of people. And I'm going to tell you right now, tonight, my intention is not to go into every possible construction of what this parable might mean. I'm going to stick really closely with what I know it means, and I'm not going to venture out into supposing, etc. I know there are multiple applications of this passage, but I want to focus in pretty straightforwardly tonight on Jesus giving this illustration. Of course, this vineyard owner, it was time to bring in the harvest. I don't know how many vineyards you have around here. Do you have any, I'm curious, any apple orchards in Illinois? Got some apple orchards? I'm from Michigan, and where I grew up, we had a lot of apple orchards. And, of course, in the western side of the state, they have the, is it the Cherry Festival? That's what I think. I didn't grow up on the west side of the state. I grew up on the other side. But when it's time to bring in the crops, it's time to act, right? You can't let them just sit there or they'll go to seed. They'll rot. They'll spoil. So this vineyard owner knows it's time to bring in the harvest. And he doesn't need workers year-round, but he does need workers at this time to bring in the harvest. I remember growing up in Michigan, and the same thing was true of the apple orchards. I think it was in Sunday school with young people as well as the single young adults. I talked about going to the apple orchard and having a donut with my family as I was growing up and listening to football on the radio. One of my favorite memories of being a little kid. And they would do the kind of the same thing. The orchard owner would get in his car, get in his truck. I personally think if you read here in the original language, it was most likely a Dodge Cummins diesel, Dually 3500. That's personally what I believe. get that diesel going. We've had four different trucks, and our favorite was the last truck that we had, which was that, it was a beautiful 2015 Dodge 3500 Cummins diesel with blue as toot. Oh, anyway, we couldn't keep it after we sold our fifth wheel because our kids were getting too big and they didn't fit in it anymore. But anyway, he gets in that truck, blah, 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 and he goes down to where the workers know that they'll be hired for the day. So he says, hey, I'll pay you a fair wage. I'm going to say $100, okay? A penny was a day's wage, all right? For a day of working out in the orchard to make sure that we get this all. If you forgive me for saying orchard sometimes, I always think apples. I know it's a vineyard. But so the first crew hops in. All right, we've got our job for the day. So they get out the wheelbarrows and the ladders and whatever else, all the accoutrements, I love that word, to get the job done. I remember seeing some of this happen. In fact, as we traveled out west to California, they have a lot of oranges where we would travel and we would see the work. We might need a battery change, brethren. Sorry to make you get up, but I can sense it coming because I'm like, No, I don't need a battery change, just the microphone. So we'll get out ahead of that. But out in California, yep, definitely. Out in California, we had those oranges out there, and we'd see. Now, some people would be right on the front lines, you know, right by the road, and you could see them with their, I'm going to switch to this one. We would see. Like I said, accoutrements, right? I told you I like that word. But as we would watch them, as we would drive by, I knew and we would know that there would be other guys that you couldn't see who were farther out in the orchards, right? Well, what happens here? Well, the vineyard owner knows he doesn't have enough workers. So he heads back out and he says, I've got to get more workers. If we can get more workers, we can get all the work done in the amount of time that we have. So blah, 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 back in his diesel Cummins, back out to where I was growing up. Thank you, brother. Perfect. Look at that. Johnny on the spot. I love it. So he would head back out. And where I grew up, a lot of the workers who wanted to be day laborers, who wanted to be hired, they would head to the 7-Eleven. Now, do you have 7-Elevens here? I know you have Casey's here, right? Because I've seen that. You got one of those in town. But it would be the same type of thing, right?
All right. Do I have it on right? Look at that. Seamless. Seamless handing the baton. Da-da-da-da-da, right? Well, they would gather at the 7-Eleven near Saginaw, Michigan, which is down the road from where I grew up, and more workers would hop in the back of the truck and off to the apple orchard they would go and so on and so forth through the rest of the day. You know the story here, right? Well, we get to the end of the day, and he's done this multiple times, including about an hour before the sun set to get more workers. You know, maybe we should pause right here for just a moment and think about one of the applications here. It's really simple. But if you think of time, it's never a bad time to trust Christ. Let me just pause there for a second. It's never a bad time to trust Christ. I've known people. Let's just take a poll here. I know a lot of the young people, the kids are out. But I'm just curious, how many in this room you were saved before the age of 15? By far the majority. That's a wonderful thing. How many here are saved after the age of 15? Right? Hopefully you raised your hand in one of those places, all right? Or you can trust Christ tonight. I've known people who were saved at a very early age. My wife was saved at a very young age. How old were you? Four? 4 years old? That's pretty early. I've known others who got saved, I mean, literally on their deathbed. You know what I'm so grateful for? You don't get less of heaven because you got saved at a different time than somebody else. Isn't that encouraging? You don't get less of Jesus. You don't get less of the Holy Spirit. You don't get less of the eternity in heaven. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So if you're here tonight, you don't. Maybe you think, well, I've gone to church a lot, but I don't know if I'm saved. Oh, don't let that stop you. What a sad thing. Well, let's go back to the account here. Well, it's time for pay time.
The best time.
I remember I used to work for a
farmer in Bay City, Michigan, one of my first jobs. In fact, my first job away from church. Our church had a Christian school, so you know, we could work as, my first job ever was as a janitor in the Christian school, right? I'd work a couple hours after school every day. My first job off-site was in the summers when that, we'd go to the farmer's market and I'd meet that farmer, and I still remember him when he would say, all right, it's time to unload, time to unload. So we'd unload stuff and he called cucumbers cukes. And I just always thought that was funny. I don't know why. Cukes, get the cukes, get the cukes. I'm like, I don't know why. It was the seventh grade. Weird things were funny in seventh grade, okay? But we would lay all the stuff out, and then about 12:30, something like that, we would start packing everything up, and it was our favorite time because he would come to us with a big wad of cash, and he paid $25. All in ones. I'm telling you, as a seventh grader, I thought, wow, you know how many Coca-Colas I could get? 50 at that time, because there were only 50 cents. It's amazing how things change. Some of you are remembering when they were 35 cents. Some of you might be remembering when they were even less, but we don't have to talk about that, okay? But I remember, I felt, wow, this is awesome, $25, I can rule the world. Well, pay time comes, they start lining up, right? And the steward starts paying the people who are there the least amount of time. Now, that makes sense. The people who arrive first get farthest into the vineyard. People who arrive last are going to be closest to the front. They just got there practically. So when you turn a line around, the last shall be first, the first shall be last, right? They all turn around. So now the last are in first in line. So they're getting their they're getting their payment, right? And they're getting $100. What a deal. They're pretty happy. So they go their way. The guys who've been there 3 hours, they come forward. What's your name? Joe Smith. All right, Joe Smith, here's $25. Thank you. We'll talk to you next season. $25. All right, this is great. $25. That was me. $100, right? $100. Oh, this is great. They're going to remember this farmer, this vineyard owner for next year. But then, of course, he can't pay them all as fast as they're lining up, and so a line starts to form. And news starts traveling through the line. I don't know how many of you have worked on a crew before, whether it was a Taco Bell crew. I did that. Hardee's. Do you have Hardee's around here? Right, in the general area, Carl's Jr., sometimes, same kind of thing, restaurant crew. It doesn't matter what kind of crew, news travels fast. So guys, the six-hour guys, who half-day guys, let's put it that way, they're like, hey, did you hear? Those guys got $100. I wonder what we're going to get. Finally, the guys who've been there all day, the guys who have sweat and worked and labored all day, they get into the line. And they're hearing the whispers and the rumors filtering back through. Oh, this is going to be great. If these guys are getting $100, I'm getting $200 easy. Hey, George, what are you going to do with your extra $100? Well, I'm going to buy a high-definition sheep. Right? They're already spent. Have you ever done that? You spend the money before you even have it, right? But then they start getting to the front of the line, and what happens? $100. What seemed to be a really good deal now, or a fair wage, now seems to be really unfair. If you ever, that crew setting, sometimes there's one guy who gets disgruntled and starts thinking of himself as the spokesman for everybody else. You ever been there? Right? How do I know that happens here? Because look at what it says in verse number 13. It says, but he answered one of them. You see that? See, they were murmuring. In fact, let's do a little experiment. This is one of those words that sounds like what it is in real life. I'd like everyone to just kind of repeat the word murmur low and under your breath a little bit. Let's see what it sounds like. Are you ready? One, two, three, go. Keep going. That's a nasty sound in a church building. Amen, Pastor? That's a bad sound. We can stop. All right. But that's a murmur, 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 murmur. Right. But that's quiet, and it's kind of like to each other. But then one guy had to have spoken up and said, hey, this, I can't believe this. You ever have those guys on the crew? You know, they're talking to George, which is right next to him, but they're lifting up their voice so the boss can hear. Kind of like a coach in the NFL or college football or whatever, when the ref's over there, they can't talk directly to the ref, so they holler at somebody else so the ref can hear. Same deal. What? $100? Jeff, I'm right here. I can't believe it, George. This isn't fair. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? I want us to think about something tonight. I don't have an outline this evening. I have one thought to leave with you. If we think of the fact that our lives are bound by time, and we're all given jobs to do by the Lord. We all have responsibilities that He wants us to fulfill. All right? We know that. Sometimes in our lives and in the back of our mind, things can feel a little unfair. Let me illustrate a little bit. Maybe at this stage in your life, maybe you're throughout a year. Maybe you're, 46, 47, 50. I'm 46 right now. Right? Okay. Just checking. Because I keep seeming to be older than I think I am. Maybe you're at a certain stage of your life, whatever age that is. Maybe you had certain thoughts of where you would be. Maybe financially, I'm going to be at this, by the time I'm that age, this is where I'm going to be. Maybe health-wise, maybe relationship-wise. I know some people who, our co-writer, she was single for a lot of years, wondered if she'd end up ever getting married, and she's how old is she? 35? Something like that. And she did end up getting married. Just in the last year or so. But I want you to think a little bit in your own heart, in your own mind, whatever it might be. Maybe it's not something I'm specifically mentioning, but we don't really raise our fists at God, or maybe you do, but generally speaking, we don't raise our fist at God and get angry just out and out, but we have this sense of unfairness. Like I've put all this time and energy and effort in, and I'm hardly getting anything out of it. And I can look at other people and I can see that it seems like they're hardly working at all and they're getting a whole lot more benefit than I am. I think sometimes even in our churches we can be that way. We can look down the street and we can see a different church that, they're not dotting their doctrinal I's and they're not crossing their doctrinal T's like we do, because we do our best to really stay true to the Word of God and we don't compromise and all these things. We go down the checklist and we love Jesus too. It's not like we're just being empty religious people. No, we love the Lord. But then we look at these churches sometimes, it's like they got thousands of people and it just seems like their church is only an inch deep. Theologically speaking, and it doesn't feel fair. Maybe you've thought that. I remember when I launched out into evangelism, I was really disappointed that my alma mater, Northland, the former Northland Baptist Bible College, didn't really help me, like they seem to with other people, other evangelists and different people. They weren't making calls or connections and things like that. And I would look at some of the other guys' itineraries and they had 4 years booked. And they were my same age. And not to be selfish or anything else, but I thought, I can preach and sing. Like, we've got the music side, too. I don't understand why why the schedule looks like Swiss cheese with a lot of holes in it. I know, it was a cheesy joke. But I would sit there sometimes, I'd look at these other guys' itineraries, and I'd say, Lord, I don't understand, that's not fair. That's what's going on here. But I want you to read something with me carefully. Verse 13. And I want you to think of the Lord coming to each one of us and saying these words. He answered one of them. Maybe put your name in there. But he answered Ben and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Look at this. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? This vineyard owner comes to this guy and he says, you have a problem. Yeah, I've got a problem. Well, what's your problem? What's not fair? Well, what's not fair? You're paying these guys for hardly any work. Oh, I see. Well, maybe I should reimburse you for the wheelbarrows. Oh, wait, those are mine, aren't they? Oh, well, yes, sir. Maybe, what about the ladders? Oh, wait, those belong to me as well. What about the lunch you ate? Who provided that? Well, you did. Whose vineyard is it? The man would have to answer and say, well, it's yours. Don't I have the right as the vineyard owner to do what I will with what I own? And you know what, friends, this is convicting tonight, but whose vineyard are we working in? It's not ours. It's His. And if we say that we give ourselves to Him after everything He's done for us, right? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It's our logical, that's that word, reasonable service. The Greek is logosomai, which means logical. After everything He's done for us, the only logical thing to do is to give ourselves back to Him. And whose right is it to do what He will with us? Isn't it His right? Listen, I know sometimes some of us, we get put on the front row. Like in California, when we're driving by, we could see all those workers, you know. It's kind of neat to see them working on that front aisle, that front row of trees, you know. And maybe the job looks a little more glamorous there because it's like they're in the sun and, you know, you can take pictures. Ooh, look at the workers. But you had to know there were a lot of workers that were not seen. You know, sometimes it's easy for us to compare ourselves with others. The Bible says that's not wise. Sometimes we get some time on the front lines, perhaps. A lot of the times, maybe we're behind the scenes. Turns out that I was glad that my alma mater didn't set up meetings for me, because when they went belly up, I wasn't identified with them. I lost no churches. I lost no meetings from my association with Northland. And even though I was grieved that all that stuff happened, I was grateful at the same time that the Lord knew what He was doing. And though, believe it or not, we don't have 4 years of booked itinerary. We've just never worked that way. I don't understand exactly, but that's just the way it is. I am much more content to just work in the aisle that the Lord puts me on. Can I share another encouragement with you that the Lord gave to me? I loved Patch the Pirate. How many of you love Patch the Pirate, right? It was a dream of mine to play any sort of character on the Patch the Pirate album. So one day, Miss Shelley called me up and she said, hey, I hear you're in town. We need some more singers. Would you come and be in the men's chorus on a Patch the Pirate album and play the part of an aunt? I said, yes. Let me pray about it. Yes. So in I went and played the part of an aunt. And I have the line,
I love to work.
I was really excited about it, right? I get to be on a Pet Shop Pirate album, etc. I was so excited when the album came out and we got our copy. I ripped open the plastic wrapping and looked inside for my name because I really was excited to see my name and the credits of one of the Pet Shop Pirate albums. And as I was looking around, they forgot to put my name in. And I was so disappointed. Amanda remembers. I was just like, I was like 7 years old, and ice cream cone fell on the ground. You know, I mean, it was just so like, oh, well, I mean, I'm still in it, but I was so disappointed. And I didn't feel like it was fair. I mean, I did the same amount of work as the other guys. And I played that role of an aunt so well. Said three words.
I love to work.
Well, I love to work. That's four words. Can't count. But I could sing a little, so. Well, you know, I had to go to the Lord with that. It might seem silly to you. But that was something I had to go to the Lord for and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm whining about this. I got the opportunity. Maybe you'll bring something better along. Well, it was just a few years later when I thought I would ask Captain Patch, would you ever be interested in singing Bow the Knee with me? Actually, at first it was Rejoice in the Lord. That was our first idea. A cappella with me and putting a video on YouTube. I didn't think he'd say yes. But he said, let me think about it. And he called me back a couple days later. Well, mate, I think that would be fine, but you're going to have to teach me how to do it. One of the highlights of my life. It ended up being the song Bow the Knee. Some of you have seen the YouTube video, but Captain Patch allowed me to record his voice with my own equipment, and I videoed him with my own camera, and we put together the video Bow the Knee. Now, that's a whole lot better than being named in the album, although that was special too. But sometimes the Lord has something better in store when we just trust him with whatever this is. Now, I'll tell you right now, that Bow the Knee video has a lot going on in it too that you won't notice. Because in between the time when I recorded the audio, because I don't record the audio and video at the same time. Okay, I record the audio, and then I sing along with it for the video. That's how it works. But in between the time I recorded the audio and the video, I lost my voice. That's when I had my vocal injury, and I didn't know if I'd ever be able to sing again. So when you watch that video on YouTube and I'm going, you know, singing along with Patch the Pirate, I have no voice. And you know, for me personally, that's a flag or a fence post in my life, because as I was singing or miming that track, I was thinking to myself, I may never be able to sing again, but I'm going to bow my knee to the Lord of the Vineyard. And if it was his choice for me never to sing again, well, then that's okay. So that song, even though it's special anyway, it means a lot to me because the Lord ended up giving me my voice back. That also was the exact time when they were suspicious that Patch the Pirate was developing dementia. And that was his first video project that he had ever done. There's so much that goes into that, and I don't mean to belabor the point, but what I'm trying to get across to you is that God will take each one of us through our own lesson with him to teach us that he is the Lord of the harvest. He is the Lord of the vineyard. And we shouldn't compare ourselves with anyone else. And we shouldn't use our timetable and say, Lord, well, you're not on time, or you're not filling out the plans that I had for my life. Maybe we should just sit back and say, Lord, whatever you have for me, that's what I'll do. When we get that diagnosis on the phone and it's something that we dread, when a loved one we hear has to go through a difficulty and we think, oh, that's not fair. I didn't mean to make this message about Ron Hamilton, but many of you saw the manner in which he passed. It was not short, but the best that he knew how, as long as he had any consciousness, he honored the Lord. I told Miss Shelley, they asked me, it was, again, the greatest honor of my life. They asked if I would both sing for the memorial service and be a pallbearer. And I told Miss Shelley, and she put it in the liner notes. I didn't expect her to do that. But Patch the Pirate taught us, during his life, he taught us how to live for Jesus. And really, a whole generation, several generations, he taught us how to live for Jesus. And yet, in the closing years of his life, he taught us how to die in Christ. He did well on his row. I want to do well on my row. Friend, I don't know where this finds you. I don't know if you're tired of being where you are and you wish you were somewhere else in your life or whatever it is, but friend, it's always best to just yield to the Lord of the vineyard and say, okay, I'll work where you have me. I'm glad we opened tonight with trust and obey, because that's really what it's about. Amen. Are you going to call me evil because I'm good? I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Maybe you're here and say, you know, Brother Ben, I've been struggling with something along these lines. I've been kind of struggling in some area of my life where I feel like it's not fair. And maybe in a real sense, it isn't fair. In a human sense, it's not fair. But you're in one of those situations right now, and you'd say, Brother Ben, I'm in that spot right now. Would you pray for me? I won't point you out or embarrass you, but if that's you tonight, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just simply slip your hand up? Yes, amen. Anyone else tonight? See, I'm in a position like that right now. I'm struggling with where I am. It just doesn't feel fair. Amen, I see that. Amen. In a moment, we're going to stand to our feet, and I want to encourage you, after I pray, to take some time and just acknowledge that to the Lord. Just say something like this, Lord, I'm struggling right now. You know that. You know me. But I just want to trust you with where I am. Would you help me to do that? And he will. He will help you. Dear Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you that you do own the vineyard. Everything we are belongs to you anyway. And so, Lord, I thank you for the wonderful times that we get. And Lord, I need to thank you for even the difficult times when we aren't treated fairly. Lord, help us to remember who we're working for. Lord, several hands were lifted tonight. That's just representative of hearts. Help us to serve you with everything we've got. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, I pray tonight would be the night they would trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? As the organ begins to play, if you need to do a little business with God, let me encourage you to do so in the quietness of this time. You can sit back down where you were seated. You can come forward and kneel at the stairs. I don't know what you're normally accustomed to. But would you just take a little time and spend that between you and the Lord? If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, would you seek one of us out after the service? We'd love to share with you how you can know you're on your way to heaven. The organist is playing, Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul. Oh, I love that. After everything he's done for us, what else can we do but give ourselves back to him? Pastor, you come.
Father in heaven, God, as we close this time together tonight, we know your spirit's going to continue to work because your word does not return void. God, I pray that each of us could could leave here being able to say in our heart with whatever row you have us working on right now, whatever the circumstances are, that we would just say, it's enough. It's good. Because it is. It's where you placed us, and we thank you for it. God, if someone here tonight doesn't know you as their Savior, they don't know if they're going to heaven, please, God, before they leave, I pray they would ask me or Ben or someone else here before they leave. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, thank you so much for coming tonight, and don't forget the concert tomorrow. Please go invite someone and bring them back with you.